This is a podcast for the people. I'm Rob. There are a lot of people that love Elon Musk. Yet, the ones that I've met, when I ask them, why? What do you love about him? I usually get one of two answers, the majority of the time. The first and most obvious is he's a free speech absolutist. They usually leave off the absolutist. They usually say he believes in free speech. And my follow-up is, outside of him saying that, how has he proven that? I haven't really got a solid answer. But that's where I discuss with them the ways he hasn't been about free speech. The ways, if anything, he's limited speech or amplified hate speech. Which, mind you, and remember, hate speech is not free speech. The other people say Musk is a genius. Most of the time when they answer like this, they have some kind of reasoning behind it. And often follow up is, well, look at what he did with Tesla. He's saving the planet. To which I usually respond, well, he didn't make the electric car. In fact, he didn't even invent Tesla. He bought it out from the people who actually did the science behind this particular electric vehicle. And there were electric vehicles way before this. Does anybody remember the Leaf? I'm pretty sure that was the name of a car. That was an early... I'm sure we've gotten much farther away from names like the Leaf. I'm pretty sure that's what it's called, too. I should have looked that up. That one just came to me because I swear I remember hearing about an EV that was called the Leaf. But there were electric cars way before Tesla. And as far as him doing anything in that realm, I always like to say is, how is making a luxury sports car electric helping the planet? It's unaffordable to most. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's still limited on its stock outside of the ones that are sitting in the lot. So it's not like he made an electric vehicle that could be an everyday user. Like some people that quote Ford as being a genius said, he realized that for him to get his automobile to everyone, he had to, number one, make it cheaper, but also pay people enough that they could purchase it. And that way, we went from horses to automobiles. He saw that people needed to be able to afford it to get one in everyone's driveway. What did we have before driveways? Barns, I'm guessing, right? Because you're not going to pull the horse up in a driveway. Yeah, I'm guessing we just had barns. Logs that you just tie them up out. I don't know. That's it. When did the driveway become popular? Anyways, getting way off topic here. So Musk is not doing along the lines of what a Henry Ford did, where he's taking the electric vehicle and making it so common that everyone can afford one. That maybe would be helping the planet. Making an $80,000 car that's that just happens to be electric isn't helping the planet none. Sorry. Do you see him all over? I don't. I really don't. I maybe see a Tesla a week, maybe. Where most people don't give him credit, and I'm happy to, usually I'm informing the people that think he's a genius, I will give him due credit in the way he monopolized the charger. That's the one thing he does have a patent on, the way the Tesla charges. It's unique to him, he has a patent on it. And he basically monopolized the network of charging systems across America so that only Teslas could use from coast to coast could use these charging stations. In fact, I have an article up that says Tesla takes Biden's $7.5 billion subsidy and agrees to open up their charging network, the White House says, if we're to believe them, which we're not. They're liars. But it says, Tesla now, with the support of $7.5 billion in government subsidies, that's our taxes, is going to open up only a portion, isn't that funny, of its U.S. supercharger and destination charger network to non-Tesla EVs. Elon Musk's company operates the second largest charging network in America behind ChargePoint. That's really his genius in turning his electric vehicle charging network into a monopoly. So if you wanted to drive across country and you had an EV, you better pray it was a Tesla, because if not, you'd be SOL. And in another article I read that even though they're taking our taxpayer money, so he's taking our money to supposedly open it up to anybody who has an electric vehicle to be able to charge, which only makes sense, right? You're using our money. We should be able to use it. You should be investing it in the people. Well, he's still figured another loophole. And again, this is where I think he has the genius. A lot of these billionaires can exploit the taxpayer money. They can exploit the people to their benefit. And I will say that's his knack. And I read that still, to be able to access this, it's not like he can just pull up and charge. To access this portion that is paid for by your tax money, you will still have to download the Tesla app and somehow go through a Tesla account to access it. I'm sure there will be a charge somewhere. Somewhere along the line, he's going to get paid for it. Maybe it will just be advertisements, but he's figured out a way to make money off of you paying him to open up the network for you to be able to access it with an electric vehicle. It's infuriating when you start to dig into this stuff. And my point going back to when people say, oh, he's a genius, Tesla. I don't think me and that person usually agree on what he's a genius at. Because if you ask these people, what has he invented? Sometimes they think it's electric vehicles. Maybe they think he invented the internet or going to Mars. But really, it's just the patent on the electric charger for his Teslas. He didn't invent anything else. Even when he was a co-founder of PayPal, which wasn't even his idea. Again, he had, if you go way, way back, he had this website called X.com, which failed miserably. That's why it's not a thing. And he buys into a lot of things and then puts his name on it and pretends like he's a co-founder. I think he even read that, or I even read that he had purchased or put more money into it. So they had to call him a co-founder of PayPal, even though he had no participation in the design or the concept or whatever it was. He was really pitching X.com. Again, if you don't know what X.com is, that shows you his genius in that area. But even with PayPal, that was just an online bank. Nothing groundbreaking, just reinventing the wheel. So I get into all this because there are these people that blindly, it's almost like they're in love. That's kind of what it reminds me of. Because when you're in love, you're just blind. And we've all experienced it. You've either been the one in love or the one being loved. And if you're the one being loved, you tell them, I'm broken. You see all this luggage with me? You ain't fixing this. And you warn the people. And still, you might break their heart. And if you're the one in love, that person might just tell you straight up, you know, I'm going to do this, this, and this. So they might just give you all the signs. Their poker face might be horrible if they're not upfront and honest. And you see through it, but you ignore it because you're in love. That's what these Musk people, well, they've bought in. He's a good PR guy. He knows how to brand it, even though he's horrible at dancing. And if you've ever seen one of his events, it's one of those things where you're embarrassed for the person. You know what I mean? Reminds me of dad humor. Sometimes your dad just embarrasses you. You're like, Dad, come on. But this one, he's not your dad. And you're just still grossly embarrassed for him. You just want to go, just be who you are. You know, it's okay. You're not cool. And that's fine. Not everybody can be. But these people, they have this, maybe it's they see, maybe Elon Musk to them embodies all of their fears. false evidence appearing real. Isn't that what fear stands for? False evidence appearing real. Because Elon Musk has a lot of fears. Everybody's out to get him. Free speech is dead. Comedy is illegal. All these things that he says. And I believe these people buy into it because they maybe secretly think that. And they don't say it out loud, but they go, yeah, this guy knows what he's talking about because he's reading my thoughts, man. I thought comedy was illegal too. And what they don't realize is it's always been legal. There's just certain comedy that really isn't even comedy. It's just kind of spewing hatred. And when people don't like it, they don't buy your stuff or say, we're not going to see you or protest you, which is very American, may I remind everybody. Then they say, oh, it's just illegal to be it. No, it's just your content is weak. Go back to your notebook. Write something better. So I think it's not even just the love for them, but he embodies all their fears. And these people that are desperately afraid of so much in the world, really, really stick together. They have a loyalty to each other because they feel like maybe they're all scared together. The same people that are coming for him are coming for them. But you'd think that in Musk purchasing Twitter, that would be the point where people started to break out of their Stockholm syndrome. Where people started to shake themselves out of it. And went, whoa, wait a minute. I thought this guy was a genius. He overpaid for Twitter. Now, if you're not on Twitter or you don't have an account, I'll get into the new rules that he announced this weekend via Twitter. Which is weird, because if you're not constantly on Twitter to see what he's tweeting the new rules are, you could really get lost. Because he seems to change them on a whim. You know, like every really good, solid company, they usually change their messaging every few weeks in a way that is very specific and has to be seeked out to be found. And I'll get into those rules in a moment. What was I talking about? I kind of got... I got lost. Oh, so Musk, if you're not paying attention, you're not on Twitter. I know there are more and more people are not on Twitter. But he bought Twitter. He was forced to buy, mind you. He made a joke bid for $44 billion, which was way overvalued. Way, way, way. So he overpaid to buy once the courts forced him into this agreement because he was trying to get out. And then he realized, well... with the, what is it called, when they have to expose everything before the case, I forget what the lawyer term is, discovery. He was trying to avoid discovery, because some things would have came out he might not like. So instead of that, avoided discovery and made the purchase. So he overpaid for Twitter last year in October, I believe it was. He paid $44 billion. Now, this March, I believe it was Musk himself, because now the company's private, valued Twitter at about $20 billion. That's a $24 billion loss. More money than we can imagine. Lost in what, 6 months? In fact, I think I was reading online, he sets a world record for most money lost in the history of the world. So you'd think some of these people that are blinded with their infatuation for him, that he speaks for them, that he's their guy. It's so funny to me, the people that think like these billionaires who were raised in an apartheid state with a father who owned an emerald mine has anything to do with the working class people. Seriously, it's so wild to me that some of these people that align themselves with billionaires that are traitors to their class, because that's what they are. Trust me, if you work for Elon Musk, he'd be actively stripping you of your rights. Well, he is doing that to his employees. But if you work for him, he'd be doing it to you too. You might have a different opinion. He's not on your side. As much as you think he is in the culture and what he puts out there, he's not. Proof? Well, look at his actions. But you'd think these people that have the infatuation, after seeing what he overpaid for it, and that, you know, 6 months later, you'd think, what, it would be about there, maybe dip a little bit. If anything, if he's a real business genius, it would have been valued higher. But no, he lost over half. And then, Fidelity, an asset manager that held a stake in Twitter worth about $20 million after Musk acquired the business for $44 billion, said in a corporate filing that its stake was now worth just under $6.6 million. So Fidelity, who owns some of that Twitter stake, remember, I think it's the Saudis who own most of their Twitter stake. That's who Elon got his money from. So when you're all, America, oh, these America fanatics that support Musk, he's getting his money from the Saudis. You're right. When it comes to Tesla, he's getting his money from the American government. But when it comes to free speech, I don't know if you know too much about the Saudis. They don't like free speech at all. By law, they don't. But that's where he gets his money. And Fidelity, who is another stakeholder, said their $20 million went down to $6.6 million. And in this article from The Guardian, it says that would value the overall company, now officially called X Holdings, after Musk's early venture, X.com. Remember I mentioned that earlier? How nobody knows of it, but he's still trying to bring it back. That would put its valuation at $14.75 billion. So in March, Musk said it was $20 billion. Well, we're learning it's a little less than that. Again, this was a guy who paid $44 billion for it. Now it's supposedly worth $14. He's lost over two-thirds of that. I think I'm not that great at math, but that's like close to two-thirds that he's pissed away. I mean, this didn't have to. There's been a series of bad mistakes, and we're going to get to the most recent ones. It's fascinating because you wonder. The way I tweeted about it this weekend was, I'm sure this is so genius, Jeff Bezos will start soon implement something similar, and he'll start limiting all his Prime members to 10 purchases a week and non-Prime members 5 purchases a week. Does that sound smart? Without knowing what Musk did, do you think that's a good business move for Bezos to start restricting on how much people can purchase on his website? Now, we might not be genius billionaire business people, but that sounds weird, right? Like, why would you want to limit that? But again, I had a person trolling me this weekend on Twitter saying, just wait, he's got it all under control. Like, these people are willingly ignorant. I said, I'm sure he does. And I tweeted the article about how much money he's lost and how much he overpaid for it. I said, yeah, but we'll keep holding out for, you know, the brilliance of this. Because they all think it's like 13D chess and everybody else just playing 2D. And he's on Mars time, man. That's really what these people think. It's almost sad in a way, because it doesn't matter what you present them. They're not living in reality and they're not willing to hear anything. They just want to believe. It's very religious or cultish. That's what it is. So Musk this weekend takes to Twitter. And this one's a weird one. And he initially said, Musk says there's going to be some changes. And mind you, before this announcement happened, you kept seeing people tweet these screenshots of basically a Twitter broken screen saying the amount of tweets, or hold on, sorry, you've reached your rate limit. Wait a few seconds and try again. Or some people saw something went wrong. Try reloading. I actually tweeted this week and I said, are people's tweets still disappearing? Because I kept trying to badmouth the president or call him out on his lying. That's right. I hate the right and the left. I don't like Elon Musk and that crowd, that political affiliation. And I think the Democrats are a bunch of no good liars, too. I think they all serve their corporate masters and their corporate donors, and that's all they care about. So their word is, the word means nothing. Watch their actions. Watch where the money is. That's how you know what people are doing. Well, these big business folk, these big genius business-minded folks. So Elon Musk tweets this. These are the new rules. And if you're not on Twitter, but you have an account and you didn't see this, pay attention. Musk said, verified accounts were first limited to reading 6,000 posts per day, but then 8,000, and finally 10,000. So verified accounts, if you pay for Twitter, you can see 10,000 tweets a day. Unverified accounts, originally it was 600 posts a day, and he switched it to 800 and then to 1,000. So unverified accounts, you just have a regular account, you've been a user for a while, you can see 1,000 tweets a day. New unverified, you just signed up because, oh, I forgot to premise this with, if you don't have an account, you can't look at Twitter anymore, which you used to be able to, you know, not have to sign up, go to the website. You could just view tweets. If something went viral, if something was shared, you could just at least go onto the platform without logging on and just see it. He stopped that, which seems stupid, okay? But he stopped. Now, new unverified accounts, if you still want to just see things and you're just signing up right now, it was first 300 tweets a day, 400 tweets, and then Musk settled on 500. So if you just signed up, you can only see 500 tweets a day. Hopefully you don't miss something good. The scary part is like in emergencies, in natural disasters, in, let's say, pandemics, in all sorts of different situations, Twitter has been a really good space for public good. So it's concerning if a natural disaster, something went on and you're following along live, that you reach your 500, 1,000 tweet count and all of a sudden you're blocked out. That could be devastating for some people. But again, I'm not a business genius. But let's address the business side of it. Like I said, with Jeff Bezos, maybe we'll see him start to restrict people from buying things. It doesn't make sense because Twitter makes its money from ads shown to users. And it bases all of that, how to generate that revenue and what they're charging for ads, on the engagement of its users. So it means it's almost like maybe he didn't know this. I don't know. It's a really weird one because if you've ever owned a website, worked for a place that had a website, usually the metric that they can, like in radio, we were bonused on, you know, if we broke record, or not records, but if we hit certain heights with the metrics. So we had new daily users, unique users. There's all these different metrics you can measure of people coming to your website. And when you have a website, never mind a social media website, that's how you're selling it. You're saying, hey, look, we are the most visited website. You know, that's one of the things Google will say. We have the most daily hits. That's how Twitter like sells itself. So to all of a sudden say, well, we're going to limit how much people can be on here, you're immediately cutting out your legs from under you. Because you're saying, it doesn't matter if you're a paid user. Once you hit 10,000, you got to get off the site because it's just going to look broken. It's just going to keep saying you've reached your rate limit. People are going to go away from the site. You're drastically, like, I don't know how to explain how dumb this is. And as someone who has a website, it's like you want people to visit it. You want people to spend time there. It's just like, I just couldn't believe it. And I thought, well, maybe this is so genius. Jeff Bezos would do the same thing. I'll say, listen, you can go to Amazon, you know, 100 times a week. But after you hit 100, or after you've ordered, you know, 10 things for non-Prime users, that's it. You're at your limit for the week. You wait till next week. And for those who pay, you can order 100 things in a week. But then that's it. If you got to order 101 things, you're cut off. It just seems weird, right? Now, some people are saying because he's laid off most of the staff and there were a few bug issues that he was trying to cover for that. And that's why people were seeing the rate limit thing. Again, this is not confirmed, but it just on a business level. And again, let me preface it. I ain't a business genius. And there are people still saying, clearly he is, and this is going to pan out. You just watch. Well, I'm watching, and I'm reading, and I'm waiting, and I'm trying to figure out how this makes sense. Social media platforms. In fact, that's kind of what the government, watchdog groups, anyone in the health industry tries to tell you, right? Limit your screen time. You need to be aware of how long you're scrolling. Doom scrolling. Scrolling before bed. In fact, everything. Maybe this is a health move. Like, what the fuck? But everything. From Amazon to Facebook to YouTube to Google. It is all designed to keep your attention. To hold you there. From the smallest detail down to whatever got you to click. Whatever got you to think of, I need to go check this website. It is all Pavlovian. They want you there. They want you clicking. They want you scrolling because that's how they make the most money. So it's just a fascinating thing to see this move. But really, my interest lies in the people who swear by it. That just believe that this is where he rebounds and makes all his money back. I guess time will tell, right? If you asked me 6, 8, 10, whatever, however many months ago. If you asked me last October when Elon Musk bought it for $44 billion. If I thought it'd only be worth $14 billion, I would have said no way. There's no way he could lose that amount of money and set a world record. Set a Guinness World Record for losing the most amount of money. I would have said there's no way. But there's some genius to losing that amount of money. So we'll see, you know, come his year celebration of owning this virtual town square. If him limiting people to be able to use it has panned out for him. Or if he broke it and it's gone bankrupt. I don't know. But either way, when you run into those musketeers that are desperately saying everything he does is 13D chess. Not even 3D chess. He's playing Mars chess. And it's brilliant. Just ask him why. Why do you think so? What is your... I know you don't know his logic, but what do you think your logic behind this move is, and why is it so smart? You heard my case. If you make money showing people ads on a website, you don't want to tell people, hey, all right, you reached your limit. Get off the website. You're going to lose that money. But again, maybe he's doing it for health reasons. Maybe he's concerned with people's screen time. So if you're not on Twitter, well, you're not missing much. You'd probably be locked out by right now anyways. Your rate limit had been reached. And if you're on Twitter, let's try to connect a different way. Because I get a feeling this thing is a dumpster fire. And it might not last long. That's incredible, right? To think of the money he lost, he could have solved homelessness, solved hunger, probably done a few other extraordinary things, just won over humanity. He could have become a legend, a folklore heroic legend of mythic proportions with the amount of money he just lost. But instead, he's known for making horrible decisions and pissing it away on weird rules while still trying to look cool. Well, I've said it before and I believe it. Affluency, this kind of wealth, is a mental disease. And just every day that goes by, I continue to believe it even harder when you see stuff like this. But again, who knows? Merriam-Webster's dictionary tweeted, they said for poets and wordsmiths, you'll be able to look at 6,000 words a day. For crossword puzzlers, you'll be able to look at 1,000 words per day. Read up on 1,000 words per day. They said for just your average Joe, 500 words per day. And that's your limit for the dictionary. Brilliant trolling. If anything, Elon Musk didn't make comedy legal again. He just made a lot of people around him much funnier. Thanks for listening. This podcast is for the people. I am Rob. If you can, share it with a friend. Make sure you are subscribed wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you listen on, what is it, Apple Podcasts now? I think that's the final branding they went with. Make sure you leave a 5-star review. I really appreciate it. I'm pretty sure it helps with the algorithm. And either way, you can say what's up in the review section. It gives you a little place to say hi. And I'd love to hear from you because I read them. And I appreciate all who have left the 5-star reviews. But most importantly, this is a grassroots word-of-mouth podcast. So if you can share it with a friend, that is the best way to help a brother out. I appreciate you. All power to all people. Peace. Podcasters note. I don't know if that's a thing. I know editor's note is a thing in like a newspaper, right? The editor will make a note and be like, this doesn't reflect the views. Well, actually, I don't know if that's the editor's note, but do podcasters make a note at the end? I don't think I've ever done it. If not, now it's a thing. Podcaster's note. First, thanks for making it this far in the podcast to hear the podcaster's note. What I wanted to talk about was after sharing the podcast and reading a few tweets in reply to it, one thought struck me. Somebody on Twitter commented that this is a great day for the plutocracy, for the wealthy people who run our society. The destruction of Twitter is definitely a good thing for them. Because whether Elon knows it or not, I do not think he's cognizant and his intentions are so. Again, I think some of this wealth, this obscene wealth, causes mental issues. The mediocrity of wealth I've been around, which is not even close to his kind of wealth, but there's like medium level wealth, like the working class wealth. At least that's what they want you all to believe. They all these wealthy people I've been around, they pretend like they're self-made, but they lived in the same town, lived with their parents till they could buy a house. Their parents were lawyers or rich. Their grandparents owned racehorses. Some of their parents were billionaires. And they tell you they made it. You know, they hit it. They woke up on third and think they hit a triple. These people are so funny. These old rich white guys that their daddies helped them with their business. Isn't that the same old story for all of them? But they want you to believe they're the working class millionaires, right? Anyways, those people that I have worked for and around, they're usually insulated with yes men, which can cause a weird derangement. I don't know. It would strike me weird if for 3,721 days, I never had a bad idea. Everything I said, people were like, oh yeah, that sounds great. Let's do that. Let's implement that. Let's go execute that plan. Let's get people on it. But somehow these people just think that they're on a hot streak like no one's ever been on before. Every idea is good. Even when it's visibly failing in front of them. So it's not so much that Elon Musk's intentions of destroying this virtual town square, that he's cognizant of his dismantling this online community, but that... And, you know, the other funny thing is he had to be a billionaire to do this. If he was a measly millionaire, he would have been broke by now. He could not have put up the collateral and got the Saudis to back him to buy Twitter. So he had to be a billionaire to lose $30 billion, two-thirds of the value of it, to dismantle and destroy this vital tool for activists, organizers, and revolutionaries. I mentioned in the podcast that Twitter is vital during natural disasters, during, you know, extreme events, during lockdown shootings, whatever's happening. A community can, in real time, engage and communicate via this tool. But also what we've seen through the protests in America, through the organizers, through the working class, through the revolutionaries, through the people who are trying to change things, who are thinking outside the system. This is a beautiful way for people throughout the country, throughout the world, to communicate and connect with each other, to create these bigger communities. The working class is huge, but we're working. It's the first part of our class. We're working, so we're busy. So to be an armchair activist actually comes in handy sometimes, to be able to communicate with other working people. So whether or not he knows this, or I should say is purposeful, his intentions is to dismantle it, that's one thing you got to give him credit for. Because this tool, this town square, is never going to work to his benefit. As much as he's trying to be the cool, creepy uncle, people can sniff him out. There are those who are weirdly infatuated with him. I think they're blinded by the money. But I think the majority of people can kind of tell, and even the people that didn't know much about him, he's exposing himself. And no matter how hard he's tried on Twitter, from bringing a literal sink into Twitter headquarters with the joke, "Let that sink in," and just becoming an absolute epic fail every time he tries to do something. It's just, he's not, that's what I said earlier. Like, if he had just put that $30 billion towards, like, hunger, homelessness, healthcare, and education, he would have been a hero. Would have his name on every school, name on every hospital. People would have loved him. Instead, he's just constantly embarrassing himself, getting caught with his pants down, and then trying to claim like he meant it's the emperor has no clothes. So whether or not it's his intention, it's working to his benefit. That the destruction of this, the people that are even organizing at his factories, because of the racism, the abuse, the exploitation, the unfair labor practices, he's destroying the medium, the tool that these people are using to communicate and to gather support. And I think maybe even though, you know, every maroon still might have it occur to them, or he might have some people around him who are like, you know what? You know how we silence these folks? I mean, he's got to be well aware, because he has banned plenty of activists, plenty of people that have called him out on stuff. In fact, just a few months ago, right after he bought the platform, he went on a little temper mantrum, banning people and banning, you know, journalists. And I don't know if they were banned, lifetime bans, or just little timeouts, but he was left and right. Anybody who didn't kiss his ass and tell him he's the best, or reported on any kind of factual things. That's where, when the free speech people go, oh, he believes in free speech. Really? Does he, though? Because he was banning things that he just didn't want to hear. And he's still doing it. So, even though it's not his intention, he's got to be aware. He's got to know, and there's got to be other wealthy people that are going, put that puppy to sleep. We got to stomp this little social website. We got to stomp this out. And thus, you stomp out the voice of so many activists, so many organizers. And it only works to their benefit. It only cost them, you know, $40 billion. But the crazy part is, he's still not even broke. Could have solved homelessness, solved hunger. I mean, 9 million children in America go hungry every night. They live with food insecurity. This man could have ensured these kids never went hungry again. But instead, he's trying to get people to believe that he's the coolest guy on Twitter. It's one expensive midlife crisis. So, as Twitter takes to its last stand, who knows? Maybe it will survive this. It's a really stupid, moronic thing he's doing. But, I mean, it's survived this long. How long has he owned it for? Not even a year? We'll see. But at the end of the day, doesn't matter much how much money he loses. In the long game, if he can silence the organizers who are trying to unionize his shops, if he can quiet the activists, the rich win. Hopefully Twitter survives, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see. End of podcaster's note.